Well, today we're going to wind up our current series on experiencing the benefit of the Sabbath. And in this series, I've intentionally not spent time trying to prove that the seventh day of the week is the Sabbath. There's plenty of biblical proof to that. But my angle in this series, if you please, has been that I believe that God created and gave the Sabbath not only as a theological precept that is true, but as something that will bless our lives and benefit our lives and make us better people if we understand the good things behind the Sabbath. I think Jesus said it very well in Mark 2:27. This is what he said. The Sabbath was made for the good of human beings. Now that's the Good News rendering. And here is a paraphrase from the Living Bible, but it goes, "But the Sabbath was made to benefit man." And so my point is that the Sabbath blesses us. It's for our good. It's a benefit for us. It's a wonderful thing. And if we can just understand this fantastic gift that God has given us in the Sabbath and understand some of the meanings behind it and all that it was intended to be, our lives will be enriched and blessed big time. Today, I'm going to talk about a blessing of the Sabbath that, quite frankly, I am just in the beginning stages of learning more about. I believe in it, but I feel I have a lot more to understand in this particular benefit. This benefit is not talked about a lot. It just isn't. But however, I believe that when it's understood and practiced in the way that God intended it to be, that God will be pleased and that God's kingdom here on earth will be advanced in a greater way. And I don't know about you, but I want God to be advanced here on this earth, and I want God to be pleased. I'm living my life for Him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so today, we're going to look at the benefit of the Sabbath as of fulfilling service. And I chose that waiter with the towel. You know, this is obviously not Taco Bell. You know what I'm saying? This is a high-class restaurant. And he is the server, the waiter. And he has that towel, and he has that plate. Today we're going to talk about the fulfilling service that God intended the Sabbath day to be. Now, Jesus Christ was a Sabbath keeper. Would you agree with me? Jesus Christ was a Sabbath keeper that attended church on the seventh day Sabbath. Would you agree with me? Luke 4:16. On the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom, as he was used to doing, as he customarily did. So it wouldn't be strange during the time that Jesus was here on earth to go to a Jewish synagogue, which is a Jewish church, and to find Jesus worshiping there. That was his custom. That is what he did regularly. However, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's what Jesus did outside of the walls of the church that can tell us as much or maybe even more about what God wants the Sabbath to be. And one such scriptural example of something that Jesus did outside of church that teaches us a mighty lesson is found in Matthew 12, verses 1 through 14. Here's the setting. Let me set it up for you. It's a Sabbath day. Jesus and his disciples are walking. They did not take taxis. They did not ride on the back of horses to go from point A to point B. They walked everywhere. So they're going to their destination. They haven't had breakfast, and their stomachs are growling. The route takes them by a grain field. And in this grain field, there is ripe grain. And because they're hungry, as they're going through, they reach out and they pluck some kernels of grain and start chewing on it. I don't know if you've ever done that, but someone showed me that, and it kind of like turns into gum in your mouth. It's really great. So they were trying to stave off their hunger by chewing on some grains. Now, the Pharisees, it's like they were always hovering around where Jesus and the disciples were. And they were definitely there on this day. They were spying. They were looking for an opportunity to be able to really stick it to Jesus and the disciples on. And so they objected that Jesus and the disciples were plucking grain. And by the way, if you're wondering, am I bothered by the crying of kids? No, I love that sound. I just love that sound because it means we have young people, yeah? Kids are so cool. And we are so thankful for the Trouble family. So anyway, the Pharisees are there and they're spying on Jesus and the disciples. And they're saying, you have broken the Sabbath because you're harvesting. And you shouldn't work on the Sabbath, right? And you're harvesting grain. Jesus met their accusations with a history lesson. He referred to 1 Samuel 21, where David and his companions ate consecrated bread from the temple because they were hungry. And it's an interesting story to see what they did. And he also talked about how priests break the Sabbath by working on the Sabbath day, something I can totally resonate with. His point was this, that godly individuals did something that seemingly broke the Sabbath for a practical, real-life reason. Now, Jesus then revealed God's opinion on the matter when he said this in verse 7, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. That's New International Version, and I like how the Living Bible paraphrase puts it. I want you to be merciful more than I want your offerings. In my own words, Jesus is saying, it's more important that you consider people than you consider rules and regulations. People are always more important than rules and regulations. And the Sabbath, at its core, is about making other people's lives better. And those Pharisees who were hovering there, watching the disciples and Christ's every move, followed them as they walked from the grain fields to a nearby synagogue, a Jewish church. And when they arrived outside of the Jewish church, there was a man who had a shriveled up hand. Ah, the Pharisees were going to key in on this, and they wanted to carry out some devious intentions. Verse 10, looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, they ask him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Now, Jewish law said that you could heal someone if it was a life-threatening thing. If they were going to die, then you could do something. But the man with the withered hand had had a withered hand for a long time. And it wasn't life-threatening. And so they were nitpicking, and they were trying to trap Jesus. And Jesus responded, listen, if you had an animal, and most of the wealthy people, the Pharisees were wealthy, most of them had some kind of animal. Jesus said, if you had an animal, and this animal was suffering or fell in a pit or something was wrong with it, you would do something about it. You wouldn't say, well, I'll wait until after the Sabbath hours are over, and then I'll do something. No, Jesus said, you would do something about that animal that was hurting. And they probably had to agree that Jesus was right. But Jesus was trying to say that people are more valuable than animals. And then Christ popped the punchline of his teaching. It is right, it is good to do good on the Sabbath. It is right to do good on the Sabbath. For Christ, the Sabbath was about doing good. And that's why the Bible repeatedly records him healing on Sabbath. And Jesus had what one church leader called a Sabbath attitude. And a Sabbath attitude is this. It's not only that you want to make sure that you're worshiping God and not working on the Sabbath. A Sabbath attitude includes care and concern for other people, both spiritually and physically. I think Isaiah 58 really speaks to this. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14, from the clear word. The Lord says, if you stop trampling on the Sabbath by pursuing your own interests and pleasures on my holy day and honor the Sabbath, make it a delight, not doing your own work or talking about your own business on that day, but consider others. Then you will find the joy that comes from serving the Lord. I will cause you to be honored in all the world, and you will delight yourself in the inheritance that I promised to your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, in this passage, it talked about not doing our own pleasure and our own work. And the fourth commandment from Exodus 20 definitely prohibits us from doing our own work on the Sabbath. We're supposed to do our work on the other days of the week, according to the fourth commandment. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. However, and listen to me, this may be a new thought to you. We are free and even encouraged, although we're not supposed to do our own work, we're supposed to do God's work on the Sabbath. God works on the Sabbath. And after Jesus healed the man at the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath, Jesus said this, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." There's a big difference between God's work and our work. We're not supposed to be doing our own work on the Sabbath. That's for the other 6 days of the week. But here it says that we are supposed to do God's work. And that was a new thought, to just think of it just like that. Now, if we were there 2,000 years ago when Christ and his disciples pulled up to that Jewish synagogue church, and the man with the withered hand was there, and the Pharisees were hovering there, and we say, well, church is about ready to start. You better get in there. But Jesus dallied, and he did not go in, and he did the work of healing. He spent time outside of church healing the man with a withered hand. Now, we all have different ideas of what Sabbath keeping should and shouldn't be. What is correct Sabbath keeping? And we can have some interesting inconsistencies that we can smile at, or at least I can. Here's one that has kind of amused me. Some of us wouldn't dream of going to a restaurant and eating on Sabbath, but we don't mind our women folk working like dogs in the kitchen to prepare our food so that our stomachs can be filled. I don't know. There, people have told me who are from Europe that European Adventists would not think of going on a hike on Sabbath. Not right. But they would think nothing of having a picnic at a park, and after the picnic, having a friendly game of soccer. That would be okay, but hiking would not. Well, that's a very cultural difference that I think I would have with some Europeans. There are such different ideas when it comes to what correct Sabbath keeping is. I heard of an Adventist youth pastor who once told his youth, and he got a little in trouble because he didn't clear this with the church board. But what he did is he told the youth for this particular Sabbath, come to church in your work clothes. And when they gathered there for Sabbath school, he said, we're not having Sabbath school in church today. We're going and we're going to paint a lady's house in the community. And so while the rest of the church was worshiping, they were working. And some people were offended by that. There are differing ideas of what correct Sabbath keeping is all about. I am sure that there are people who think that I am hopelessly lost in legalism because I do not watch TV on Sabbath. I don't. I don't do secular things on Sabbath. Some people say, well, that's legalistic. When I was racing as an endurance athlete, I chose to not race running races and triathlons on Sabbath. And some people thought, that's a little legalistic. There are choices that we can make when it comes to what is correct Sabbath keeping. And we all have those individual choices that we should make. And I feel very strongly that we should not be too dogmatic in gray areas of what another person should do or not do. We should not be too dogmatic or judgmental. We need to let, as Romans 14 says, let everyone be fully persuaded in their own mind. So the point that I'm trying to make is that sometimes we have not seen the Sabbath as we should. And it was intended to be much more than just going to church and not doing certain things and doing other things. God intended the Sabbath to be a day of serving other people and making other people's lives better. Sabbath-keeping Christians should be focused on serving humanity in fulfilling service. You know, we just sang about that a little while ago. The Sabbath should make me a servant. Does the Sabbath make you a servant? And one of the best ways for us to make our Sabbaths as days of consistently serving others is to get involved volunteering at our church. We handed out the list. You may recognize this young man with a big smile. Do you know who this is, Wes? Those of you who don't know, it's Victor Green. And this is part of a meeting, and Bobby Joe's right there keeping him in line. You better believe that. This is one of our ministry development team, a.k.a. nominating committee meetings. And I took a picture of Victor because I sat right by him, and he is thumbs up. And we're working on the list of volunteers in our church. We have a lot of volunteers. And one of the best ways to make Sabbaths a day of consistently regularly serving others is to be involved as a volunteer. And there are so many wonderful opportunities to do that in our church. You can serve just today. We've had deacons. We've had music ministry people. We're going to have food service people in just a little bit. We've had Sabbath school teachers and children's ministries leaders in Sabbath school. There are so many ways that we can serve God. And it doesn't even have to happen on Sabbath, because during the week, we have a very active community services. Amen, Norma? Yeah. And they were there last Wednesday working their hearts out, serving our community. In any one of these areas and a number of other ones, you could volunteer and you could consistently be involved in making Sabbaths and even out of Sabbaths a time where you serve others and make other people's lives better. Because as Jesus pointed out, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I think Jesus knows what he's talking about. Volunteers at our church have this wonderful blessing of serving others in the name of Jesus Christ on a regular basis. And that is one of the beauties of Sabbath. The end time judgment scene of Matthew 25, 34 to 46, that's where Jesus said, I was hungry and you didn't do this, and I was so on and so forth. And people said, well, when did that happen? I don't remember that. Well, when you didn't serve other people, you didn't serve me. Oh. So in the final analysis and the judgment, it really does make a difference how we are a servant, according to Jesus. it reveals a lot about our relationship with Jesus if we serve other people or if we do not. And because we don't do our regular work, because you don't, I can't speak to that, because you don't do your regular work on the Sabbath day, you are freer to serve other people in the name of Jesus Christ. And our busy modern lives do not easily accommodate acts of serving other people. But if we organize and construct our Sabbath traditions and schedules, we can have opportunities to serve other people powerfully. It was a couple of years ago. And I heard a church member, who you all know and love, preface a story that he told with this statement. It was the best, the most meaningful, the most incredible Sabbath that I ever kept. And I'm going to ask Ken Newman to come up and tell the story of the most incredible Sabbath that he ever kept.
I grew up in Crescent City, just up the coast here. And in 1964, there was an earthquake up in Alaska which caused the tidal wave to hit Crescent City. It hit about midnight on Friday night. And I was home from school on spring break. And so we went to church, which was not affected by the tidal wave itself. It was inland far enough that it didn't affect it. The pastor said, okay, go home, change, go down to the affected area and help them with their disaster. That was a Sabbath day.
Thank you, Ken. So the question in closing, do we have a Sabbath attitude? Do we have a Sabbath attitude? I know we gather to worship and we're clear on the theological deals of the Sabbath, that it is the seventh day and God created it. Most of us are clear on that. But do we have a Sabbath attitude? And does that attitude affect even the way that we serve other people on the Sabbath? It's easy to make Sabbath just about us and our family. But Jesus is trying to widen that perspective and say Sabbath is not only a day for you and your family, but it is a day for serving other people and making other people's lives better. And when you serve other people, interestingly enough, you experience a joy. And life is sweeter when you focus outside of yourself. We read this scripture earlier, but I think it's just so good. We need to be reminded. So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service, His work, and pleasing to Him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Yes, the seventh-day Sabbath has some strong biblical teaching, theologically in the Bible. But there are practical benefits and blessings to the Sabbath. And in this series, we've talked about those blessings. We've talked about the Sabbath as a day of joyous celebration, the Sabbath as a day of blessed rest, the Sabbath as a day of recovering our balance, a Sabbath as a day of renewal healing, a Sabbath as a day of authentic worship, a Sabbath as a day to rebuild relationships, and finally, a Sabbath as a day of fulfilling service. May we follow the examples of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who said, "It is more blessed to give than receive. I have not come to serve, not come to be a servant, but not become to be served, but I have come to be a servant of all." May that be our Sabbath attitude. Loving Father, I just ask that you give us a bigger perspective of what the Sabbath is. Thank you for Ken's testimony about the day that a church just decided to put their work clothes on in an emergency and were Jesus' hand and feet to a whole community. I'm thankful for our volunteers, Lord, who give of themselves week by week and have discovered the joy of service. Lord, give us a heart of a servant. And our prayer, Lord, is make me a servant. Make me a servant. I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.